right, so here we are. We are live through PBS Radio online. My name is Gijs Minderhouten. Today it is the last day, the 31st of August 2016. We're live on the radio. We have a few people here on the phone line at this point. And this is as usually a simulcast with a conference call. Tonight is the questions answer call, where you can submit questions online per email, and Wynn and Terry will do their best to give you an as good as possible answer to that question tonight. We had another person join in here on the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Terry from Sedona.
Hello, Terry. Terry
Hi.
Brown, thanks
Hi
for being here.
Hi.
All right. Great, we had the email out from Wynn, so that's a good thing. Actually, am I saying that? Yeah, this is right? No, it's not there yet.
Yeah.
Is Wynn home?
Yeah, he is.
All right.
Wait, we just walked in the door, so...
All right. Welcome to the next caller on the phone line. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
That was Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, Elise, everybody.
Good evening to you, Don, and welcome to the call. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Doing well, thank you.
Great.
Yep. All right. In the meantime, it's 2 o'clock.
Yeah, I got a new book called Spiritual Warfare. It's about how to get rid of demons.
Who's that?
What?
Whose book?
Dr. Carl, K-A-R-L, Payne, P-A-Y-N-E.
Okay.
A guy from WND.com. You know, I saw that book.
So to
Could
those...
Could you say the name again?
What?
Spiritual what? Could you say
Spiritual
the name again?
Warfare. Spiritual Warfare.
All right. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
It's Roger in Austin.
Welcome to the call, Roger. Good evening.
Good evening. Nice.
Right. Thank you for having. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Good evening. Anthony in Lauderdale Lakes. Hi, everyone.
Hello, Anthony. Good evening to you and welcome to the call.
Thank you. Thank you, Arts.
All right.
Hey, Roger, are you going to go see Sadhguru when he's in Austin?
Who's that?
You going to go see Sadhguru when he comes to Austin?
Don't know who that is.
You can look up online. He's got a bunch of YouTubes. It's kind of an Indian Hindu mystic. Kind of interesting.
Oh, I'll check it out.
Anybody listen to Coast to Coast last night? Or David Wilcock?
I did.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Welcome to the next call. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Hi. Hi, everybody. This is Joni in St. Louis.
Good evening to you, Joni. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Hi, Joni.
All right. I welcome all those folks that are joining in here, that are here now, actually, through BBS Radio. Thank you for being here. We're still in the preamble, waiting for Winfrey to become present on the call. And I welcome the next participant over here. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hello, this is Edna. Good evening.
Good evening, Edna, and welcome to the call.
Thank you.
All right. All right, and again, I want to mention to those that just joined in, this is the call where you can submit questions per email, and those will be answered through channeling by Terry Brown. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hello, Marshall from Chicago.
Marshall, good to hear your voice. How are you doing?
I'm doing really good. How are you doing tonight?
Fantastic, man. Thank you for being here.
We're headed out to New York tomorrow and then Massachusetts.
All right.
To get more signatures for running for the President of the United States.
Is that going to happen this day? Oh, yeah? You're on it?
That's it. I'm a write-in. I'm legal in 26 states right now.
All right.
What's your name again? What's your name again?
Marshall Shanky.
I don't know anything about you, buddy, but you got to be better than those two.
Write in marshall.com. It's a great, we got a way better platform than all of them.
All right. good evening, Wynn.
Good evening.
I'm glad you're here. And we had somebody else come in after you. And welcome. Please say your name and location.
This is Suzanne in Columbus.
Welcome to the call, Suzanne.
Thanks, Huz.
All right.
Is Terry here?
Yes, he is.
Terry?
She has been talking, and
yeah,
her line
right.
is...
I was muted.
Oh, no.
Here I am.
That was record time to get out of being muted. Good work.
We are live on BBS Radio. Thank you, BBS. Thank you to all the listeners over there. Wynn, it is 6:05, and I'm going to turn the dings off.
Okay.
All right. Can I close the lines?
I think so.
All callers are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
And today's a special day because we are celebrating Dharmananda's area code, which is 831.
I don't understand. He has a new area code?
No. His area code is 831, and today it's 831.
Oh, I see. You got to explain that. That humor is too subtle for people like Terry and me.
You know, I knew that you were here, Wynn, so I expected the question.
I see. All right.
This conference is being recorded.
This is 8:31. And 8:31... 2016, Wynn and Terry in Sedona. And for all of you that didn't get an email today, it's my fault. I didn't send it, okay? I took a day off, but most of you, some of you are going to send me an email and say, I didn't come to the call because I didn't get an email. That means they're waiting till about 2 minutes after six. So let's see. We have some... I think we got some good questions. Keep in mind that if you guys ask a question or submit a question and I don't ask it, okay, it's perfectly okay to submit it again unless I tell you it's really inappropriate, okay? And I usually... I'm accepting more questions. Terry is handling things. You know, it's a little nerve-wracking when we first started doing this. I'm saying, can Terry tune into that? Well, can they get through Terry's brain? Terry, they're using your brain, right? They're using your memories, right?
They have access to it.
Yeah. And when somebody asks a question that's very technical of some sort, what happens?
Well, it was me, and I go, and then they come in, and often I think, well, I have no, me has no idea. And then they come in, and they have a perfectly good answer, and I go, wow. And then I bring it in.
Uh-huh. And when you hear their answer, do you hear it in words, or do you hear it in, feel it in concepts?
No, it's not words, it's concepts. And then sometimes there's not even words for the concept.
Mm-hmm. But you have to... do your best to translate the concepts, right?
Right. Or, it's them and me.
Yeah.
To translate it.
Yeah. Will they help translate it sometimes?
Well, to search for the words to express it.
Yeah.
And sometimes there's no words, so it's just the closest they can get.
Yeah. Okay. I think it's very interesting, the process of how this works, okay? And Marilyn, Jane, let's see. Oh, J.B. Course. Thanks, Marilyn and Joni and Jane, for the Monday call. And the Monday call was on emergency preparedness. And you know, many people, I'm just going to reiterate this. You can go back and listen to it on the Spirit Channel. But first of all, I just want to keep underlining the idea that this is a very good time to do two things. Store some food and water and cash. Have it on hand. Lots of people are saying something could be imminent in terms of economics. Other people are saying if depending on who's elected, we could be in another nuclear war very quickly. If the nuclear weapons work, I don't know. We put it out that they shouldn't, but I don't know. Be prepared. And don't wait till the last minute, because if something does happen, the food supermarkets are going to be empty. Everyone's going to go there. Long lines for gas. And these things do happen. And, you know, the most likely thing is a huge economic collapse. And if you guys don't understand why this collapse has to happen sooner or later, it has to happen, as far as I know, I'm not knowledgeable about all these things. I don't study them. But the reason it makes sense to me that it has to happen is because, you know, at one point, our government was printing money that was backed by gold or silver. They used to be called silver certificates. And now the government is printing money which is not backed by anything. And, you know, the American dollar has been the foundation for the economy of the world. It was the stable currency. And now, when the money is printed and it's not backed by anything, and we're doing all these wars in the Middle East and spending trillions of dollars, it's like sooner or later, and it's already in the works, other countries are not going to trust the dollar. And they're going to trust currencies that are backed by gold and silver. And when that happens, and the dollar loses its status as the standard, which could happen any time now, any time, people are saying it's imminent, we're going to have a depression, or people are saying we're going to have a depression like nothing we've ever seen, much worse than 1929. And, you know, this idea of a precious metal-backed currency, supposedly some people say that Kennedy was shot because he was making a silver-backed currency at the time. And some people say the reason Gaddafi was killed was because he had this vision of creating a currency that was backed by gold, and if he did that, then it would change the economy, the economic balance of the world. Russia and China are working on this project. I don't know all the details, but this is one of the reasons to be so careful now, because some people are saying that if there's a crash, there'll be very likely martial law. And then on October 1st, I believe, or supposedly, I didn't track all this. I just get emails. The United Nations is going to take control of the Internet. And the Internet could be now censored in some way. Where, in any case, this is a very critical time. And we will keep you updated to the best of our ability. You know, our sources don't make predictions and say something's going to happen on such and such a day. But we do ask them, and they say, you know, essentially, at one point I said, is something going to happen? They say, well, they managed to forestall it, and they do agree that it's in the works. But it's like they, somehow or another, it should have happened a long time ago, okay? But it didn't. And how do they put things off? They artificially influence the market. They kill people. God knows what. But in any case, this is a period, and a lot of people are saying, watch for the next 2 weeks. In fact, it's not just going to be a U.S. breakdown. It'll be a worldwide breakdown. And the economy of Germany, of the head of Germany, warned his people. Exactly what I'm saying to you guys. Buy food and water. And there could be a huge breakdown in the next month. Go look it up on the Internet and from the government. The governments do not do that unless there's something behind it. And our government probably wouldn't do it at all until after it happened. Okay, even if they thought something was going to happen, they wouldn't say anything. So the Monday night call that Marilyn did was about coping in an emergency. And on the Monday night email that I sent out, there were, I think, 20 things that are vital that run out when there's an emergency. And it said what they were, so you stored them up, okay? So this is not a game. I know it's hard to get this through because it doesn't seem like anything is so imminent. And I hope I'm full of it. I hope nothing happens. But in case it does, like you may have to, there may be no food in the stores. It may be dangerous, especially if you're in a big city. It could be dangerous to walk out your door. Okay? You may have to hole up in your apartment for a while till you figure out what's going on. Make sure you have a radio of some sort, battery-powered radio, so you can keep up to date. And on that note, let us start. Terry, you're not ready, but you're there. Let's see. Are you unmuted?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm unmuted.
Okay. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light. Surround and protect Terry and myself, and any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concern. We see ourselves in the flow of energy flowing from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. Anything not of that nature must leave now. And our first question is from Deb Wren in Lapine, Oregon. Her question is, so if I or anyone else comes across someone who is not crossed over, they just don't know they have died. What is the proper way to assist them? Telling them to go to the light seems the proper way. There are many things on the internet that says the darkness is using false light to catch the souls from crossing over. Could we have any guidance on this? Thank you. Deb.
Thank you. This would be called the death walk. When you discover an entity that has not crossed over, he may not realize that he is dead, and he may not realize his circumstance, so he may be just paralyzed and not knowing what to do for fear of doing the wrong thing and not understanding what is happening to him. So one can call in the light, call in the angels, get in touch with the person, talk to him. Not everyone wants to cross over. Many people are stuck in whatever they were working with and want to continue it to its completion. And so they may just keep hanging out, attempting to go through the routines of their normal day. Each person is different. So if you can, if you're sensitive and can connect with them, get them to talk to you and to find out what it is that they are looking at and are attempting to do, give them the offer of connecting with the higher realms. However, not everyone is ready to connect as they have incompleted cycles in their lifetime and wish to just keep working to complete something. So each person is different, and what they need is different. Some people connect right away to the angelic realm, to the angels that are sent to help them, to the tunnel of light, and can be transported over. It is an individual thing how to help each one, but in general, to talk to them, to get them to talk back, and to just have a conversation with them and listen to them until they can realize more about their circumstances. Call in the angels. Thank you.
Thank you. Question. If somebody is preparing to die and they learn all about the, what do you call it, the tunnel of light and the heaven realms and the angels, and now they've crossed over, are they going to remember that when they've crossed over?
They may or may not. It isn't where their focus and attention is at. It's also if they are simply looking at their surroundings, they may not remember. And they may be trying to react to their surroundings. So they may need some orientation and to get them to shift some people are paralyzed. And if, since they're scared to move, if you attempt to get them to move, they are scared to move or don't know how to handle their crossover life. So it takes talking to them, simply a kind word, a hello, can help them get them moving.
Even a kind word from somebody on this side?
Yes.
Like talking out loud, somebody that was close to you.
Yes.
There's a good chance they will come into your space.
There's a good chance they will hear you, whether they are near you.
Mm-hmm. And Deb asked the question, and you know, when you leave this realm, are there potentials for negative sources trying to look like positive sources who will veer you off the highest path?
Yes. And if a person, an entity, has negative influences in their space, this can be enough of a connection to bring in negative upon them and to block their progress forward.
Mm-hmm. So somebody that has negative attachments connected to them can screw it up. Yes?
The negative attachment can connect with the negative outside of the person and pull them into a negative situation.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Rich Buckley in Livermore asks a question about John Nugent, who wrote the lyrics for Amazing Grace. And since the Elohim has identified itself, or having a part of a very high level of Elohim, is in a level of grace, is grace, or another way of saying it, there is a portion of the matrix which is very high and very fluid and very liquid, and if we access that, that can flow into this realm and cause what seems to be miracles in this realm. This is from Wynn now saying this. This is how I think it works. And our sources can kind of back that up. So this is called grace. The Elohim call it grace. And we call it grace, but grace usually means some kind of high intervention to cause something to shift down here. So Rich's question is, John Newton, is he part of the Elohim group consciousness? Is his soul currently incarnated on Earth? And could we know where that soul is now and what it's doing? They may not say that because it might violate the privacy of the soul, Rich. But let's see what they say.
Thank you. He has moved on. The words, the song, has anchored an energy that is a lower level of the higher level of the Elohim area of grace. And is a stepping stone for moving into the higher level of grace. He wrote the song as if it were the section of grace, but all of its overtones. And we're looking for the at this. There are many versions of this. We are looking at him, at his image. He has brought great sanctity into the third dimension with a song. It is a lower, oldest tone of, or tone, a lower tone of which the higher section of grace is overtones. We are looking at him and sending him light as his journey has not been as happy as one could hope. We bring him energy in our energy arms that things can go better for him. Thank you.
So it's a rather important thing when we bring somebody to your attention, yes?
It can be, yes.
For some people. It can make a big difference. So.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. And thanks for paying attention. Next question here. This is from Dave Ferringer, okay? Now, in Grove City, Pennsylvania. And Dave, are you getting better with all these questions? Okay. He is going to guess a few things, and he says, correct me if I'm wrong. My sense of humor flows decent at times, and I assume it's being channeled through the crown chakra. Let's say humor is on a specific frequency, and it is the same frequency that Robin Williams flowed from. And Dave says, I'm not nearly as funny. After his death, he recognized this frequency, and this is how he found me. As he visited me to compliment me on my humor while I was in an old pattern of meditation, I must have said something he thought was funny. If all that is pretty close to factual, what did I say that he laughed at? Dave. Now, I think Dave here is saying that he had an experience of thinking he was connecting with Robin Williams, and that something transpired between the two of them. And he's also asking if there's a connection between his crown chakra and his sense of humor. So let's start with those and see where we go.
Thank you. Humor has many frequencies, many channels, many rivulets, and can go to the conclusion suddenly and it can have other rivulets and channels that are available. There is a whole section of riffs and humor that one can reach into and bring back and can be on a similar frequency to Robin's sense of humor.
Is that all?
Give us a moment. There is a connection where Robin was master and could reach into the rivulets and the storehouse of comedy, and you have some access also to this. That is where you and Robin meet. And there is expression that you can bring back. Thank you.
It seems to me that humor is, one of the aspects of humor is when somebody can access various dimensions simultaneously and interlink them in a creative way. I try to put this into words. And the way it interlinks becomes funny. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And it happens.
Go ahead.
It happens very, very fast. Okay? It's way faster than you can deliberate on it. It's just like boom, 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 boom. And somehow it comes together. So, go ahead.
So, there's spontaneous humor, and there is remembering jokes and putting them into your own storehouse and being able to draw on them at various times. The humor is a way of placing contradiction, the absurd, into the manifest and then watching, hearing as it releases charge. Humor often is in areas where charge is built up because of unacceptable issues.
Thank you. I guess we're ready for the next question, which is, this is from Edna. I woke up the other night in a heavy sweat, and I felt whatever happened or wherever I was at when sleeping, it was affecting my physical body. It was strange and mysterious. Then the next night, once again, I remember waking up in the middle of the night, but I was half awake, and I remember thinking, I will not let that happen again. And I turned to my sleeping boyfriend, and I said to him, don't worry, everything will be fine, and that I was going to take care of it. Then I remember arranging my hair to get it out of my face and quickly went back to sleep. It seems like I was preparing myself for a battle. I was preparing myself to whatever I was going to do when I went back to sleep. However, I cannot remember what happened after I slept. When I woke up in the morning, I thought, what the heck was that? I have no idea why I was thinking and talking like that, because I was half sleeping and my brain was not completely present. Could the sources help me to understand what was happening? What was I fighting something that I knew could harm me and my boyfriend? Thank you, Edna.
Thank you. So this was a difficult area that you were accessing. And you were dispensing with it. Other areas, other vestiges, other looks into other realms sometimes act as a portal to let something in. And you were handling it. Good work. That is a comment.
I think she was asking, excuse me, was it something that was affecting her boyfriend as well, or was it just her?
In the proximity to your boyfriend, it was also affecting him.
Mm-hmm. Was it more of her connection that was affecting him, or was it more of his connection that was affecting her?
More of hers.
More of hers. Okay. Thank you. Next question is from Bonnie. Mathematics class was a struggle for me as a kid, but I have come to an understanding of numbers as an adult through my own seeking and study. Could you speak about the vibrational qualities of numbers and how they may or may not be understood through numerology? Thank you for all the blessings, Bonnie in Corona. And let me just make a couple of comments here. That the Elohim, when we initially talked to them, said that the universe was created, that they were masters of mathematics, and that there was a huge amount of mathematics used in creating the universe, and that we know that there's something called sacred geometries, where the different densities come down to the next one through, I think I can use the word precise mathematical correlations. And on Earth, I think that whole thing comes down, since everything is nested. One thing nests into the other. So even though Earth seems extremely solid, that it is solid, it's got the appearance of solidness, but it's nested in a bunch of dimensions that are based on mathematics. And that downloads in Earth into various symbologies in numbers, which some people have studied and called it the science of numerology. And people go through the numbers in your name, all kinds of... I mean, I never studied it intensively, but I read about it when I was younger. And I remember that I was having certain recurring numbers come to me. For example, when I would meet somebody with a certain phone number and they have certain numbers in their phone number, that it meant it was a signal to me that there was some kind of connection, and there usually was, where their phone number matched certain numbers. But that's as far as I got, okay? Let me turn it over to our sources, and you can share if I have that correctly and add your knowledge to it, which I'm sure is immense.
Thank you. There is a building block of structure within the manifest universe. For instance, mathematically speaking, things grow in accordance with the Fibonacci series of numbers, so that if you have a snail shell or a shell from the ocean, it tends to develop with certain structural characteristics that make it strong and viable. Numbers are very important, as they are a foundation of all that is. If you have nothing, zero, there is the void. And then if you have something, the one, then you begin to have manifestation. If you have two, then you have give and take back and forth that individuals can sense, can see others. Then if you have three, the divine, then you have a combination of the one and the two, and things are organized in an order. If it is optimal, it includes spirit in the spirit order. If you have four, it is man's works in the world. Each number anchors a part of all that is, and structure then is anchored. Buildings have four sides often. There are four sides to a room. There are rectangles that move to help provide structure in buildings. So numbers are very important in the building of the manifest world. The anchoring of the manifest world. Thank you.
Thank you. So, if we learn numerology, we can get some kind of understanding of things that look kind of random in this realm, like phone numbers or street addresses or stuff like that. Is that true?
Yes, they are connected to concepts.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you. Next question. I have heard there is a very long line to incarnate here on Earth. Can you share if indeed incarnating on Earth is a coveted experience of growth? Is our Earth a very unique place in the universe? If so, how?
Thank you.
There's more questions, but we'll go with those, and then I'll ask the others.
Earth is a hard place, as there are more beings wishing to incarnate than there are bodies. Some are unfamiliar with how to incarnate, and the ones with the greatest intention, the ones that can laser in to take a body, are the ones that are successful. It depends to some degree what the person is intending, and it is her positioning in the taking position of body. The best circumstance is to move back to the heaven realm to have help with the choosing of the potential body, and then to have help with the connection to the potential life form.
You know, I have heard that in general that we tend to move into families and choosing bodies where we had previous life connections.
Yes.
But oftentimes Terry refers to a soul that just goes to a hospital and looks for a new body coming in, which it seems like they don't have a previous life connection. Could you explain that distinction?
It depends entirely upon the individual. If the individual has been away for a while, has been wandering for a while, then they can move to a hospital and can take a body. If a person has a strong connection with their granddaughter, with their daughter, and they pass away and they have a strong connection, they can stay connected and move into the situation of being their own grandchild. It is an individual thing.
Mm-hmm. And Isis is asking questions along that same line. Like, I would assume that if there's a new body coming in, if a person has a strong connection with that body, they have, or the family, they have the strongest chance of, say, winning that body. But in other cases, there may be beings that are competing for bodies. And she's asking, who gets priority?
The person with a strong connection and intention simply takes the opportunity.
So there's lots of souls that are kind of waiting and either building their intention or waiting for the opportunity. And they might compromise and say, well, this is an opportunity. Like, say, for example, if there's a family that's somewhat dysfunctional, that probably would end up not bringing that entity up in an easy environment. Souls are still making the concession to come into that family, but maybe they match the frequency of that family. Could you explain that?
If they have a frequency connection, there's more likelihood that they would come in. And if they don't have any frequency connection, that it is unlikely that they would choose that family. If there was some dysfunction in the family, then the person would need to, when choosing that family, need lessons to be taught that dysfunction could fill.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I think we've got most of the questions for tonight. Let me just looking through. If I missed your question, please submit it again for next week. We're going to bring this call to an end. It's about 6:57, and we have to give BBS back to them. So I thank our sources for answering everything, and I thank all of you who asked questions. And on that note, let's see, unmute the calls and wish you a good rest of the week. And I just remind you again, store some food and some cash, okay?
Good. All callers are unmuted.
A good way to get food is to go to the 99-cent store and buy a bunch of dollar cans of food or things of grains and just put them someplace and forget them in case you need them. And
man,
thank you all.
Pardon me?
Thank you very much. Love you all.
Thank you all.